I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. So I got two questions from the Facebook group that we're going to talk about today. The first one is, what's my favorite business book? And the second one was, what is the worst pricing model for web design? So let's knock the one out real quick about my favorite business book. Now, I always have a hard time picking my very favorite of something, and especially comes down to these business books and stuff, because there's read so many of them, and so many of them are really great. But let me pull out one of the ones that I think is really cool and that has really changed my thinking about a variety of areas of life. And that was the book called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. So Chris Voss is a hostage negotiator, and he wrote this book about how compromise or splitting the difference is oftentimes not a good solution when negotiating with people, right? Because of course, since he's a hostage negotiator, he can't be like, okay, well, you got 20 hostages, well, kill 10 and give me the other 10 or whatever. Like, you can't do that, right? You need all the hostages to come out alive, and the hostage taker needs zero of them, right? So it's like, never split the difference in those situations. So that immediately made sense to me. But you know, sometimes it also made sense. Well, if I want a pepperoni pizza and my friend wants a cheese pizza, then well, what if we do half pepperoni, half cheese, and we're both perfectly happy, right? Because we only want to eat half the pizza anyway. So it seems like sometimes it's okay to split the difference in that context. But prior to reading the book, I had never thought about how it seems like most of the time, splitting the difference isn't really what you want. Like, for example, say my wife and I go ballroom dancing, and I say, I want to wear the black shoes. And she says, oh, no, you'll look better in the brown shoes. And I say, oh, well, let's split the difference. I'll wear one black and one brown. It's like, well, that's not going to work out. Like, that would be worse than that split the difference option is worse than either of the other two options. And so everybody loses. And so this book really opened my eyes to how that works and like a variety of different situations. And so I totally recommend reading the book because I think it'll change your perspective on just how to work more effectively when negotiating things, whether it's business deals or working relationships or just in life in general. That was one of the books that really kind of changed my mindset about just kind of working together with people without, without trying to compromise, because it always just seemed like, you know, splitting the difference was always the best approach. So check that book out. It's Chris Voss, and the title of the book is Never Split the Difference. Okay, so the second question was, what is the worst pricing model for web design? And so I actually had a post a few months ago about my five favorite like pricing models for web design, so you might want to check that out. But when I was asked, well, what's the worst one? It was a little bit difficult to think through because there's a couple of them that I have some really strong problems with. So I'll give you three, and the last one is my least favorite one. So fixed project scope is one of the ones that I find to be really stressful. So for that reason, it's kind of one of the worst ones. Like when you say, okay, well, I'll build your website for $5,000, fixed fee. And then the problem with that is, well, what happens if the scope creeps and like some other stuff gets added to it? Well, then you either have to be like this hard-nosed person and be like, well, we're not doing what you say. You already agreed to this. And so that causes conflict. Or you do it anyway and just kind of eat the cost of the extra work. Or you try to renegotiate the price because of the changed scope. And it's not the worst, but it just feels bad. You know, it's like it's not an ideal situation to have to kind of work on all of that stuff. So that's not ideal, but it's not too bad. I think worse than fixed price is hourly rates, like just doing a time and materials kind of a project, because your incentives are misaligned. Like if you're charging for the hours, then you want as many hours as you can because that gets the price up as high as you can, right? So like if you want to make more money, you need to work more hours. And so the problem with that is you put a cap on how much money you can actually make. So you're really limiting your earning potential by saying, you know, billing by the hour because you only have so many hours. You can't scale that up. And then you're penalizing innovation, right? So like, what if you figure out how to do stuff faster and better? Then, I mean, like, why would you ever even upgrade your laptop? Or why would you ever enhance your skills? Or why would you ever, you know, optimize your workflow or streamline your processes or anything like that? Because you're going to make less money if you do. And then you say, well, no, you don't. You just raise your hourly rate because you're more effective now and more efficient. And then, but the problem with that is if someone's never worked with you before, they don't know that you're more efficient. Like they don't have any way to really quantify that maybe you can do like four times the work of someone else. All they're looking at is, well, the average hourly rate's $50 an hour and you're charging $150 an hour. That's like three times more expensive. But you're like, yeah, but I do four times the work. It's even better, right? So if they haven't worked for you or worked with you yet, they don't know about all of that extra efficiency that you've got. And they just hear 150 versus 50 and like, wow, that's probably too expensive. I probably can't afford it. Even though you might even be cheaper. And when it's all said and done, you might even be less expensive than the person charging the lower hourly rate because they might have to work more hours to do the same stuff that you're doing. So I feel like hourly rates kind of misalign your incentives. It penalizes innovation. And it's really hard to market, especially as you begin to raise your rates because it begins to feel like that you're just so much more expensive than everyone else, even though you might actually be cheaper. So I think that's kind of a wonky way to price web design. But here, my least favorite one, and not too many people do this one, but it's definitely my least favorite, is subscription pricing for websites, where you like build a $5,000 website, but only charge $500 a month, and you just hope that they stick with you for at least 10 months. And the reason that there's a bunch of reasons I don't like subscription pricing for websites. One is you are taking on all the risk. Like you as a developer take on all the risk, because you're putting in like $5,000 worth of work up front, hoping that the client's going to stick with you for at least 10 months to pay it off. And then if you can get the whole year out of it, then you're probably making a little more than you otherwise would have. But what happens if they can't go the whole year? Like most of the time when someone cancels, like I've been doing this almost 20 years now. And when a client has to cancel their website or stops doing their thing, it's either because they close their business down for some reason, they have some horrible problem has happened, and like a health problem or someone died or something. Like something big happened and you wouldn't in good conscience want to even fulfill on the contract anyways. Like you understand that they can't keep paying you, but now you're kind of in this bad situation because you just put $5,000 worth of work into it and you only made less than that, right? You only made, say, half of that back. And so now you're just kind of out all the extra money because you did the subscription pricing for websites. So the risk issue is a problem. The biggest problem, though, I think with subscription pricing for websites is I don't think it's a very effective way to get your business off the ground because you need more than $500 a month coming in or even more than $1,000 a month. Like it's going to take you multiple months to get the revenue up to where you can actually sustain like your life, your full-time business or whatever. And so then what ends up happening is you start rushing and you're like, oh, well, I'm only making $500, so I'm just going to do the fastest job I can here. It's because I got to get the next one coming in. And it's just very, very frantic and high stress and all of that. And then as kind of icing on the cake, it's like, I don't like to do the contracts thing. And so you're locking people in. It's like all of it is just bad. Like I can't think of a really strong reason ever to do subscription pricing for websites. I understand that the pull is, hey, I want recurring revenue. And if once I get, you know, 10 or 15 people doing it, then I'm good to go. But I'd much prefer to see you guys do like regular pricing on websites and get like if you're going to build a $5,000 website, get $5,000 right now and then get on a monthly plan that includes like hosting, maintenance, and at least a basic marketing plan, and get your recurring revenue coming in from the recurring work that you're doing. So whenever you're doing work, you're getting paid for it. And then you've got the recurring revenue coming in as you continue to drive the results that your clients are actually counting on you for with the tools that you set up in that initial phase when they paid you for like the $5,000. So normally speaking, like in DoubleStack, kind of the pattern that we shoot for is a $5,000 kind of initial build. Now, it's just fuzzy, right? Like it's some are more, some are less, but if you can do like $5,000 for that initial build, which includes the website, the branding, what to say on the website, any photography they might need, hooking up their email marketing platform, like social media templates, like all the things that they kind of need up front. So it's more than just a website. It's like all the tools and everything that they need. And then after you launch the site, you move into that monthly plan for hosting, maintenance, and at least a basic marketing plan for somewhere like $1,000 a month, right? And so then you end up having like these $15,000 clients, give or take. And then when you do that, you only need like, you know, 5, 6, 7 clients in that space, and you've got your own six-figure business. So that's the direction that we go in DoubleStack, is like $15,000 clients, but you get paid for each part of the project. Like When you're building the site and it's a $5,000 site, you get paid $5,000. When you're doing the maintenance, you get paid for the maintenance rate. So you get the best of both worlds. So you get like your setup money now, plus your recurring money later. And that's the direction that I like to go when it comes to web design. And it's interesting because the pull for subscription web design is close to what we're actually talking about. But the difference is subscription web design is you just charge for the website on subscription. And I think that's actually the worst pricing model for web design. Whereas the double stack model is the subscription comes in from the hosting, maintenance, and marketing. And then you get paid for the website itself based on a value-driven approach. So value price the website, have the subscription for hosting, maintenance, and marketing. Put those things together, you end up with $15,000, $20,000 clients. And you only need 5, 6, or 7 of those to get to six figures.